Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13 in your Scofield Bible, page 1304. Beginning with the first verse, we'll read responsively through verse 8, the 8th verse being the text verse for this evening's message. Hebrews chapter 13, page 1304 in your Scofield Bible, in responsively verses 1 through 8. Let's stand, please, all of us standing, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And let's pray. Now, Father, thank you that we have this opportunity tonight. None of us, I suppose, fully realize the profound opportunity that is ours each and every time we come into this building. Each and every time we sit to hear the Word of God preached. But help us nonetheless to realize it's an opportunity that is more than wonderful. And it's more than we can express. It's unique. Help us tonight to hear with purpose, with the intention of getting what you have for us. Thou hast prepared a feast. Help us tonight as we sit at thy table. In Jesus' name, amen.
I always hesitate to tell you that I'll be briefer than usual, because that's one of the most discouraging statements that I make. And so when I say that, the ladies don't take off their shoes, they put them in their purse. But tonight I do plan to be brief, a little briefer than usual. Of course, some of my plans go awry, and it may be the case tonight. I want to speak tonight from that passage read a while ago, that wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to speak tonight on the changeless Christ. Let me, before I pray, put this thing here. And for some reason or other, you like this microphone better than you like that one. That's because you folks that like it so well think that everybody else is going to get it. One of these days, I'm going to preach against those that like this microphone better than that microphone. When I do that, you're going to have people shouting that never shouted before here in this chair. I promise you for sure. The truth is, this church is divided right down the middle. The shouters and the pouters. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, I enter tonight into a little white chapel that's a very holy place. I come tonight to a little place where I cannot, with my limited vocabulary, begin to do justice to my subject. My title will be more, I think, suitable than my sermon. What more can you say? The changeless Christ. Help me as I speak tonight, and may we rejoice tonight in the fact that there is one who never changes. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in Fayetteville, North Carolina, preaching many years ago, good night, 50 years ago. Mrs. Hiles and I lived in Fayetteville, North Carolina. You heard me tell the little one room we had that we shared a bathroom with eight other couples and shared a kitchen with eight other couples. One dining room area with eight other couples. I decided that I wanted to live a little while with nostalgia. And so I took a little journey down memory lane and went to Pershing Street in Fayetteville, North Carolina, across the street from the big downtown high school. And I wanted to just walk up on the porch one more time. I wanted to walk down the hallway, the second door on the left, where our little room was, 12 feet deep and 6 feet wide. Not enough room to even get behind the bed to make the bed up. You had to crawl over the bed to make this side, then make up this side. But I began to weep. The house was gone. It had been torn down. I decided then to get a taxi cab and go down to Kennedy Street. That's the next apartment that we had. In fact, the first apartment that we ever had, little two rooms. That's the one we had no sink in the kitchen. And no lavatory in the bathroom. Ms. Hiles had to wash the dishes in the bathtub. She had to wash all of our clothes in the bathtub with a rub board. And we had a wood stove to heat in the one room. We had a kerosene stove to cook on in the other room. But I wanted to go down and see that first little apartment that we ever had. We thought it looked mighty nice because we'd lived in that place where we had to share a kitchen with eight other couples. We thought, boy, oh boy, to have your own kitchen, that's big league all the way. And not to have to stand outside in line waiting to use the bathroom. That's big league. So I went down, got the cab. We drove down to Kennedy Street, turned right off Hay Street, the main street in town. And about the fourth house on the right was the house where we had the little apartment. I wept. Somebody had torn the house down. Somebody had torn down all the houses we lived in, trying to rid themselves of the memory of Jack Hiles, I guess. Everything had changed. I have taken people on a little tour of our roots in Texas, and I like to take them to a little place where we had a little two-room shack, my mother. That's where she first began to take the Bible and hold it up when I was just a little boy and say, "Son, the Bible is the Word of God, and make me repeat it thrice." Then she would say, "Jesus is the Son of God." And again, I had to repeat that three times. I went to try to find that place several years ago, and I was disappointed because that place also was torn down. It seems like that with the passing of the years, change is pretty well obliterated the things and the places that are precious to me. I took a trip up in northeast Texas to my first little college pastor at the Morris Chapel Baptist Church. I wanted to see the building once again. I wanted to see the little rusty bell out in the front. I wanted to see the pot-bellied stove just inside in front of the pulpit right down here. I got there, and there was nothing there. They had replaced it with something they called a community building of some kind. But the little church was gone. It just seems like that almost everything sacred to me, every place sacred to me, the buildings have been taken down, changes. I don't want to go to the Bible lands anymore. I have no plans to ever go again to Jerusalem because of the changes. I recall the first time we went, there was a beautiful Calvary here, and there was a space over here, sort of a little empty ground over here. You could kneel there and look up at Calvary. The next time we went, they built a bus station right across the street from Calvary. It just didn't seem the same at all. The parsonage down in Marshall is gone, and of course the building is here. And went down to Henderson. In fact, I drove you, Brother Jack, down to Henderson, Texas, where I used to pastor. If I recall correctly, it's a sporting goods store now in that building where we used to have Southside Baptist Church in Henderson, Texas. And I'm a nostalgic person. to me, memories are wonderful and places are important to me. But it just seems like that everything has changed. But I want to stand tonight in praise to our God to tell you there's something that never changes. Malachi 3:6, He says, I am the Lord. I change not. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change. The house on Pershing Street, the house on Kennedy Street, the parsonage in Marshall, the Grange Hall Church, the Morris Chapelville, all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't even vary from day to day. He's not in a good mood one day and a bad mood the next day. He's not in a talkative mood one day and a meditative mood the next day. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Not only does he turn, but there's no shadow of his turning. Hebrews 13:8, our text tonight. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Acts 1:11, I love it. It said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. This same Jesus. It's been 2,000 years since he was here, but he's still the same Jesus. This same Jesus. He hasn't come yet, but he hasn't changed. This same Jesus shall so come. He's not talking about just the same body, or just the same hands, just the same face, just the same hair, though he is talking about that. But he's talking about the person Jesus Christ. This same Jesus that you've seen taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him taken up or go. Now, I want to make one statement tonight that basically is the sermon. The statement is this. If he never changes, then whatever he was, he is. And if he never changes, whatever he is, he always will be. He's the same yesterday, that's what he was. Today, that's what he is. Forever, that's what he will be. So if he never changes, that means if he can find out what he was, we can find out what he is. And if he can find out what he is, we'll find out what he always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now let's see what he was. And in seeing what he was, we'll find out what he is. And in finding out what he is, we'll find out what he always will be. What was he? At a private feast, a harlot came to him, bathing his feet with penitent tears. And he forgave her. And he's still the same today. That means no matter how deep in sin you've gone, he's still the same today. If he'll save a harlot 2,000 years ago, he'll save a harlot 2,000 years later. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he was, he is. The woman at Sychar's well came to him, having had five husbands and living with someone who was not even then her husband, outside the boundaries of marriage, and he made a new creature. The truth is, he almost made a female evangelist out of that gal, and she runs back into town and says, hey, come see a man told me all things I ever heard. Now, he didn't tell her all things that she'd ever done, but she's a woman. She stressed it a bit. All he told her was that she had five husbands and living somebody else now. She said, hey, come see a man told me all things I ever done. No, he didn't do that, but what he did, he made her a new creature in Christ, wrote her name in heaven, justified her as if she had never sinned, made her a child of the King, prepared a glorified body for her, and saved her as much as John the Baptist was saved, and he's just the same today. A Mary Magdalene, possessed of seven demons, came to him and became one of his closest followers. This fallen woman, possessed of seven demons, was the one who saw the resurrected Christ first. She was the one that saw him and supposed he was the gardener. And he said, Mary, and Mary, and she said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And this wonderful follower, one of the first witnesses of the glorified, resurrected Christ, was once a woman possessed of seven devils. Praise God. I don't care how far in sin you've gone. Jesus will forgive your sins and make you his child. And he's still the same today. A crooked tax collector came to Jesus with his fraud and usury. And Jesus made him a new creature and forgave him of his sins. And he's still the same today. A thief next to him on the cross cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't even say the prayer like he's supposed to say it. He just said, but I tell you what he did believe. He believed in the resurrection. Jesus was dying there, and the thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that thief on the cross said, remember me. And Jesus justified him and made his record blameless as if you'd never stolen a pen in grade school. And he's just the same today. Are you a thief? He's just the same today. Have you rustled unholy skirts? He's just the same today. Are you a fallen Magdalene? He's just the same today. Are you a crooked tax collector? He's changed a little bit. He's just the same today. A wicked publican beat on his breast and cried, be merciful to me, a sinner. And from that day, not one sin has been recorded against his record. And he's just the same today. A murderer of God's people saw him on the road to Damascus. And God drowned his sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And that man who had murdered God's people, persecuted God's people, became a born-again child of God and became the greatest preacher that ever opened a Bible and the greatest missionary that ever crossed an ocean and the greatest Christian that ever prayed a prayer. That great man was a murderer of God's people. Hey, and he's just the same today. A cursing apostle comes back to him. An apostle that had followed afar off, warmed the devil's fire. An apostle that denied the faith, denied the Lord, denied the church, comes back to him. And that apostle was received and preached on Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. Hey, I reckon if Jesus never changes, he'd forgive you if you came back to him too. I reckon if Jesus never changes, you backsliders could come back to God and get forgiven tonight, just like the Apostle Peter was, who came back to God. Hey, I reckon if God could use that cussing Baptist preacher to preach on Pentecost, God might could use you to serve him too. Be seated back in the back, please. Have a seat back in the back. Nobody's standing around the back. And he's just the same today. The same God that Dwight L. Moody preached is the same today. The same God that did his Sunday preach, he's just the same today. The same God that Charles Spurgeon preached in London, he's just the same today. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change. Nations may change. Capitals may change. Presidents may change. Kings may change. Homes may change. Backgrounds may change. People may change. Neighborhoods may change. Philosophies may change. Churches may change. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A disobedient evangelist who refused to go to Nineveh to make a whole city converted. Instead went to Joppa, was kicked off the ship, swallowed by a whale, made the whale sick in his stomach. Make anybody sick in his stomach to swallow a backslidden Baptist preacher. And this fella came to Jesus, came to God, and turned with a second chance and turned a whole city to God. And the greatest revival any city's ever seen was led by this man that needed a second chance. Hey, I reckon if God gave that man a second chance, he's still the same today. God will give you a second chance. Have you wandered away from God? He's a second chance God. Are you living away from his will? He's a second chance God. He gave Jonah a second chance, and he's just the same today. He loved little children, and he's just the same today. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, and he's just the same today. He never shut his ear to the cry of want, and he's just the same today. The doubting came to him and got assurance, and he's just the same today. The disconsolate came to him, and he cheered them, and he's just the same today. The fallen came, and he lifted them, and he's just the same today. The weary came, and he strengthened them, and he's just the same today. The bereaved came, and he comforted them, and he's just the same today. The broken came, and he mended them, and he's just the same today. The wandering came, and he retrieved them, and he's just the same today. The sick came, and he healed them, and he's just the same today. I get tired of these dusty theologians and some of these dead seminaries chopping the Bible up into pieces and say,
This is the way God dealt with people back in this age, and right here he started another way, and this dispensation started something else. Let me tell you, the God we serve has never changed. The salvation plan has never changed. His love has never changed. His mercy has never changed. His grace has never changed. His patience has never changed. His kindness has never changed. His forbearance has never changed. All may change, but hallelujah, Jesus never changes. He's always the same. The sinners came and he forgave them, and he's the same today. The discouraged came and he encouraged them, and he's the same today. The faltering came and he steadied them, and he's just the same today. The heavy-hearted came and he lightened them, and he's just the same today. The outcasts came, the street people came, and he's just the same today. The mission men came, and he's just the same today. The demon-possessed came, and he's just the same today. The crippled, the maimed, the halt came, and he's just the same today. He received them. The broken-hearted came, and he mended them. The forsaken came, and he welcomed them. The hungry came, and he fed them. The fearful came, and he calmed them. There's nothing so wonderful about Jesus as that he's as the fact what he was. And he's never changed. He was the lily of the valley. He still is. He was the bright and morning star. He still is. He was the way, the truth, the life. And he still is. He was the resurrection and the life. He still is. He was the bright and morning star. He still is. He was the rose of Sharon. And he still is. He was the promised seed. And he still is. He was the Passover lamb. And he still is. He was the scapegoat. And he still is. He was the hope of Israel, and he still is. He was the Prince of Peace, and he still is. He was the mighty God, everlasting Father, and he still is. He was wonderful and counselor, and he still is. He was the forgiver of sins, and he still is. He was the lover, spurned, but forgives, and he still is. Whatever he was, are you discouraged tonight? He wants to encourage you like he always had. Are you fallen tonight? He wants to lift you like he always has. Are you away from God tonight? He wants to bring you back like you always had. Let me tell you, that's one reason why we need some old-fashioned churches, because the same God that lived in those days is alive today. When the circuit-riding preacher went up and down America with a Bible in one hand and holding the reins of a horse in the other, and preached in brush arbors and tents all over this country, and preached a heaven that had golden streets and sin that was black, and hell that was hot, America was turned to God. What America needs tonight is the same kind of preaching she had in the old-fashioned days. Men's needs are the same. Men's hearts are as broken as ever. Men still wander from God. Men still commit suicide. Men still turn to liquor. Men still turn to dope. Men still turn to godless psychiatrists. Why? Because people are lost and confused and melancholy and brokenhearted. But let me tell you something. Jesus was the answer 2,000 years ago. Jesus was the answer 100 years ago. And Jesus is the answer tonight. He never changes. He was as willing to receive the thief as he was to receive the beloved John. He was as willing to receive Mary Magdalene as he was to receive his own mother Mary. He was as willing to receive Saul of Tarsus as he was to receive the Apostle Paul, whom he became later. He was as willing to receive the crooked Zacchaeus as he was the fisherman Peter. He was as willing to receive the woman at Sychar as he was Mary of Bethany. He was as willing to receive the little children as he was Nicodemus. He was as willing to receive Matthew, the crooked tax collector, as he was Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. He was as willing to receive the prisoner as much as he was the jailer. And he never changes. He never changes. That means whatever sin you committed, he'll forgive like he always has. Rahab was as welcome as Rebecca. Ruth was as welcome as Naomi. Jacob was as welcome as Joseph. Naaman was as welcome as Abraham. Hagar was as welcome as Sarah. Esau was as welcome as Jacob. And the thief on the cross was as welcome as Nathaniel. He received the poor, the sick, the palsied, the lame, the halt, the blind, the bruised, the tired, the lonely, the sad, the brokenhearted, the beggar, the leper. He never broke a bruised reed, and he's just the same today. He never discarded a marred vessel, and he's just the same today. He always used the fragments that remained, and he's just the same today. He never wastes a thing, but is the master recycler, and he's just the same today. He takes the most garbage life and the wastebasket of sin and makes it useful, and he's just the same today. He asked Peter, "Whom say men that I am?" He asked the disciples that. Some say you're Elijah, and some Jeremiah. Some are the prophets, but he said, "Whom say ye that I am?" He knew who he was. He knew what they were going to say. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the loving heart of Christ rejoiced in the fact that Peter said that. He enjoyed the affection of the Apostle Peter, and he's just the same today. He asked the disciple, "John, lovest thou me?" Or Peter, "Lovest thou me?" He said, "Thou knowest I'm fond of thee, but lovest thou me? Thou knowest I'm fond of thee, but lovest thou me?" You see, Jesus wanted loving 2,000 years ago, and Jesus wants our love today. When Mary sat at his feet and worshipped him, he loved it then, he loves it now. When John leaned on his breast, it pleased the Savior, it pleases him now when you and I love him and lean on his breast. When John loved him so much that he called himself the disciple that Jesus loved, that pleased the Savior, and it pleases him now when people love him. While he was invited into the home of the Emmaus disciples, he loved it then. He loves to be in your home now. And while we celebrate Memorial Day, and while I remember the friends of mine that gave their lives in World War II, I'm talking about Alvin Sandifer. I'm talking about Raymond Ranlett. I'm talking about those men that played ball with me, the pitcher on our baseball team, my doubles partner on the tennis team. All of those men, boys, that died on the battlefield, I'll remember them. I'll remember those people that served here at First Baptist and those out of the cemetery. But brother, don't forget the one who died for us, Jesus, the one who died on Memorial Day. I've preached it in prose. Now let me read it as I wrote it in poetry. He picks the broken vessel up and molds again its clay, and in his hand creates a plan for use another day. He bringeth back the wanderer whose feet have gone astray, and gives the bliss of usefulness, and he's just the same today. He lifts the fallen Magdalenes, who wounded in life's fray, and makes them pure and feel secure, and gives their hope a ray. He taketh back the prodigal to his dear father's bay, and makes him feel in love the love that's real, and he's just the same today. He meets a lass at Sychar's well, who's traveled sin's dark way. She's had the fling that sin doth bring, and now it's time to pay. And though her sins were manifold, they all were washed away. He changed her life into joy from strife, and he's the same today. He takes the heart that's torn apart and finds where pieces lay, and again begins to make it mend and enters it to stay. He makes the sun to shine again through skies of darkened gray, replacing fear with hope and cheer, and he's the same today. He takes the one who's tasted oft from sin's seductive tray, and in its place gives peace and grace and teaches him to pray. "You now are mine, and I am thine," I hear him softly say. "For what I was on yesterday, I am the same today." He lifted those whose lives depose, who were the devil's prey, and found that all he has to give was stubble, wood, and hay. And in their place he hath replaced a new and better way. So come to him when hopes are dim, for he's the same today. Yes, time may change and people change, but one's always the same. He is the Lord. He changeth not. Oh, praise his changeless name. He turneth not and there is none through all eternity. Whatever he was is what he is, and what he always will always be. He's not I was, I used to be, and not I'm gonna be. He is and was and always will be the I am to me. 2,000 years have passed away since he at Sychar's well redeemed the fallen prostitute and saved her soul from hell. 2,000 years have passed away since sinful Magdalene came weeping to the changeless one and saw her record clean. 2,000 years have passed away since since on the cross a thief cried, "Please, dear Lord, remember me," and found his soul's relief. 2,000 years have passed away since one man beat his breast, "O Lord, be merciful to me," and Jesus gave him rest. 2,000 years have passed away since came the Savior's birth. 2,000 years have come and gone since Jesus walked on earth. But even today, when men proclaim salvation through his name, he saves men as he did before, for he's always the same. For Magdalenes who live today find pardon at his feet. And thieves today forgiveness find and pardon that's complete. For yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. People come back to First Baptist Church who grew up here, and some are here this evening. They love to look in the choir and see Brother Pearson up there. He's been here ever since Moses was pastor here. They remember when he had black hair. They see old Crutchfield here on the front row, and they see Terry Duff here. People see Mrs. Schneider here. She's been here. In fact, Mary Magdalene was one of her close friends. She won Mary Magdalene to Christ, of course. And they look and they see the people in the choir. There's Mrs. Hall up there, and there's Irma McKinney up there. And there's Mrs. Boardway, and on it goes. There's Mrs. Parr, and there's Brother Mitzica, and on it goes. And our young people who grew up here come back as adults, and boy, they find comfort when they realize that the old church hasn't changed a great deal. Our college graduates come back and visit here. Invitation is given, and down the aisles they come, and people get saved, and folks get baptized. Why? Tell you why? The old church hasn't changed in all these years. Members of our church that grew up here. I was down in Columbus, Georgia, preaching. Young lady came, she said, "I want you to meet my husband." She said, "I grew up in First Baptist. I haven't seen you in 25 years. But," she said, I want my husband to meet you." I preached that night. When I finished preaching, she came to the altar, tears streaming down her cheeks. And she said, "Brother Hiles, you haven't changed a bit." What she meant was, same old sermon, same old illustrations. "Haven't changed a bit. You met my first convert, Johnny Mark Gray. He was here, middle-aged man, white hair now. I was preaching. I used to think it was out in Omaha, but it wasn't. It was out in New Jersey. I was preaching in New Jersey. After the service, a white-haired man, prematurely white hair, came up. And he said, "Brother Hiles, my name is Johnny Mark Gray." I said, "Johnny Mark? Are you the Johnny Mark Gray that used to live in Marshall, Texas? Out on the Highway 43? "Yes, sir." "Johnny Mark, are you the same? Was your mother rather heavy and your father a big husky man?" "Yes, sir." "Did your grandmother live with you, with your folks?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Johnny Mark, you're the first convert I ever had. I can still see you walking down the aisle of that building out yonder, Grange Hall Baptist Church. You're the first convert I had." And this middle-aged man saved under my ministry nearly a half a century ago. I guess he's middle 50s now. Tears swelled up in his eyes, and he said, "Brother Hiles, I close my eyes tonight. I'm going to close my eyes and listen to you preach. I thought I was sitting at Grange Hall Baptist Church in Kent. It's been almost half a century." But he said, "I wouldn't have known you if I'd seen you on the street, and you wouldn't have known me either.
You don't look like you did. You've grown older. You changed as far as your looks. But he said, Brother Hiles, I closed my eyes tonight, and I felt like I was a little seven-year-old boy again listening to you preach at the Grange Hall Baptist Church. When you get almost 70, you get hungry sometimes to see the old places and the old people. But so many are gone. Took a trip down to Texas. I wanted some of my people to meet my old deacon, LGE, is my old one-legged deacon. Had a wooden leg. We drove up, and he was sitting out on the porch at the edge of town, Marshall, Texas. I walked up, and I said, is your name LGE? Yes, it is. I said, you know where I could find some whiskey? He looked carefully. He said, Mister, you don't look familiar. But you're Jack Hiles, aren't you? Because I'm always looking for whiskey. That satire and that humor, he recognized. Next year, I went back down to want to introduce some more people to him. Were you with me when I saw LGE as the one-legged man? I want to introduce some more people to him. Went up to the house and knocked on the door, and Mrs. Eves came. I said, is your husband in? She said, no, he went to heaven since you were here last year. One of the best men I ever knew. Had a little crowd of people with me that day, and they met Mrs. Eves, and we talked to her a little while. And she said, Brother Hiles, I came to our neighborhood, and he totally changed it many years ago. Told about how, what a great time we had, and how you were there that day. And she told, what was that the word she used? Brother Hiles totally changed our neighborhood. Next time I took some folks down there, I wanted to see Mrs. Eves. But I was told Mrs. Eves had passed away. I just want to thank God tonight. I just want to testify. Thank God he never changes. You'll never go to the throne of grace and find he's not there anymore. You'll never come to him and seek forgiveness and find he doesn't forgive anymore. You'll never come seeking his love and find he doesn't love anymore. You'll never come begging for mercy and find he is not merciful anymore. You'll never bring a sinner to Christ to trust him and find he doesn't save anymore. You'll never come to him to supply your needs and find he doesn't care for his own anymore. You'll never come to his book and find it's not there anymore. Thank God, traditions change, people change, houses change. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. That's why he said, I am the Lord, I change not. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. May I testify again as I close. One of the hardest things I've ever done in recent weeks was stand up here during question and answer time. Somebody does, my leg is just killing me. And I dreaded it, and I stood up, and I shifted. But I've been preaching now for about 35 minutes. I don't even know I got a burned leg. The changeless Christ, he never changes. He never will. Same God that Dwight L. Moody talked to 100 years ago, I talked to a while ago. Same Christ that did his Sunday preach and called America to, I'm preaching tonight. The same changeless Christ that caused Adoniram Judson and Ann Judson to cross the ocean and die in Burmese soil and bear children in Burmese soil, that God's alive tonight. The same God that caused David Livingston to explore the jungles of Africa is alive tonight. The same God that caused William Carey to say, I have cobbled shoes for a living, but my job is winning souls to Christ. My profession is winning souls to Christ. The same God that caused John Bunyan to rot in Bedford jail and leave us Pilgrim's Progress is still alive tonight. The same God that heard the crackling of the flames when Bishop and Ridley gave their lives is still alive tonight. The same God that saw Savonarola burn to death is alive tonight. I am saying
He always is the same. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory, 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 glory to His name. Don't you want to trust a Savior like that? Don't you want to give your life for a Savior like that? Would you bow your heads, please? Dear Jesus, I wish I had a better vocabulary. I wish I were more eloquent. When I preach on something like this, I feel like a little boy reading from the first grade book. John hit the ball. The ball was hit by John. I feel so childish and juvenile. I feel like I'm taking a pen, trying to reproduce Michelangelo's Last Supper. I feel like I'm taking the piano and trying to play a symphony. But somehow I pray You'd help us to get the idea.